Your Bibles up in a comfortable position and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Not a doubter.
Not a doubter.
I'm a doer.
Not just a hearer.
And my life is the better.
After having heard.
The word of faith.
Faith comes by hearing.
And hearing.
And hearing by.
The word of God.
In Jesus' name.
Give God some praise. Praise the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And you should be in Isaiah chapter 40. And we're going to read verse 31 together. Isaiah 40, 31 together. Amen?
Amen.
On the count of three. One, two, three. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Give God a praise offering. Praise God. So we talked over the last couple of weeks about the word wait and how the word wait doesn't just mean that you're sitting there doing nothing, but that you are tying and binding yourself together, twisting yourself together with the Lord. So as you're expecting and looking patiently, tarrying for him, you're tying and twisting yourself together with him by studying his word, by spending time with him, so that then at that point, you will renew your strength because of the strength of your relationship with the Lord. Then you will renew your strength. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. And we talked about the fact that running wasn't just merely running a race or running like that, but that it just meant to keep persevering and going. And that walking, we got to walk by faith and not by sight so that we don't faint in the things of God. So last week, we kind of looked at how we're pressed on every side. We're crushed, but we're not forsaken. It's tight. But it's still right in the things of God. We don't have to have these big, clear margins. You don't need a minimum of $1,000 in your account to make it. You just need God to provide. You don't need nothing. You just need him to provide. You know, it's a wonderful thing. When I used to go out with my daddy, I used to call him my daddy, but I also called him my sugar daddy. He's still my sugar daddy. And the fact that, you know, we go out, and I ain't had to worry about it because he had it. So whatever dude steps to me, you got to have it, bro, because that's the treatment I'm accustomed to. I didn't have to have it. I didn't know where he was getting it from. It didn't matter to me. When I was younger, I really didn't think about it. I'm like all the other kids. You just think the shoes fall out the sky. You just go to the store and get them. They don't see you pausing and hoping that your credit card go through. That's not what they see. And if it don't go through, they don't understand what that means. They have no worry. That's how we should be with the Lord. We have to run and not be weary. We have to walk and not faint. And even though we're pressed on every side, we have to know that thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're still dealing with our brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, who, I don't know if he's the greatest, but he's one of the greatest representatives we have for how to walk by faith and not by sight. Here is an instrument of God who did incredible work, whose writings we follow throughout most of the New Testament. And we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 10, but we're going to read first 7 through 9. And I'm going to read 7 and 8, and I want you to read verse 9 with me. If you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, say, I have it.
I have it.
All right, I'm starting at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Begin. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Give God a praise offering for the word. And when we think about waiting on the Lord, I think a lot of times that we don't entwine and twist ourselves together and we just be idling over here, waiting for him to do things. And because we're not binding and tying ourselves together with him, then we go the wrong path. And this is the main wrong path. We think we do stuff. We think we run stuff. We think it's our own ability that allows us to sustain this life. We think that a hustle can make us successful, because the world is giving us the message that if we hustle hard, we work hard, we gonna get what we deserve. And we know that not to be true. You know it's not true. There are so many factors that impact your quality of life that have nothing to do with you. You can work hard your whole life and just work at a job where you don't have insurance and your life is miserable. If you're working at a job with no insurance, it's tough out there for you, unless you're making enough money to pay full cost for insurance. And even rich people have insurance because it's a cost saving. So it's not just the work that you do. Some of us have worked extremely hard, and we make extremely small amounts of money. Not enough to supply our need. So it can't be the level of effort that gets you what you need. Once you're saved, once you have a relationship with Christ, this is one of the benefits, that he takes care of you as long as you're doing what you're supposed to do. The word says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there won't be room enough to receive it. You can be working hard. You can meditate. You can have good blood pressure. You can work out every day. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't know that peace that passes all understanding. And so you see people who have all the money in the world killing themselves, who have great lives from our perspective, killing themselves because they don't know God's peace. And they haven't tapped into his peace. He said, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. The word says to be anxious for nothing. But if you don't know Christ, you can't really get rid of anxiety because you don't know where your help comes from. And so we forget and forfeit our benefits. Just like anything else that happens in your life with your benefit package on your job. I dare any of y'all to tell me that you have taken advantage of every benefit that you've been offered just through your employment or retirement. We don't, because a lot of times we don't know what they are. And so I'm here to remind you that a benefit that you have in Christ is acknowledging him. Just acknowledge that he is and you ain't. That it is he who has made us, and not we ourselves, that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That he is in charge. That he is omnipresent. That he is omnipotent. That he is omniscient. not us. And so when we go into these situations, think about Paul. Think about all the things that Paul was doing right for a long time. Paul wasn't perfect, but he had his thing with Christ together, enough to give us chapter after chapter after chapter of letters to the church to help them grow and mature. You can't talk that talk without walking that walk. And here we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that Paul says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. So all this revelation that I've received from the Lord, I could have been susceptible to get the big head. And we ain't nowhere close to Paul. We ain't walking nothing out. We ain't listening to the Lord. We're not hearing from the Lord. We ain't been thrown in prison. People ain't tried to kill us for the cause of Christ. We're over here chilling, thinking that we don't have stuff, or acting as if we don't have stuff. And Paul said, in spite of all this, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now make it clear, Paul is saying that this thing in the flesh was from Satan and not from God. God doesn't put stuff on us to humble us, but he can use the situations in which we find ourselves to demonstrate his strength in our weakness. The word says, and let me flip over to it because I don't want to misquote it, 1 Corinthians 10:13. We so close. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Which means as believers, we're dealing with the common stuff that every man deals with. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And another translation, it says to bear up under it. He will give you a way of escape. So when Paul is saying a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. In the Amplified, it says, and to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness, preeminence of these revelations, there was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me, to keep me from being excessively exalted. Now, I don't know that everything that we face in life is a thorn in our flesh, because he had gotten down to the one. And there's a lot of discussion or disputation about whether this thorn was actually a physical ailment or an emotional ailment or whatever. It's never said. Thank God Paul never said. So when Paul's like, y'all ain't going to be in my business. I'm going to write all these letters. But this thorn I'm keeping to myself. But Paul said that this was sent to keep him humble. And then he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. So it's not like he didn't ask God to remove this thing from him. 3 times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. And he said to me, and it's very strange that John and Paul are the only two people that get the red letter past the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, right? So we hear the words of Jesus, but Paul is saying that Jesus said this to him. In Revelations, John says, Jesus said this to me. But that's pretty much it. So the level of their relationship that Jesus is speaking directly to them in these circumstances is significant. And he, Jesus, said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In the Amplified, it says, but he said to me, my grace, My favor and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. So in order for God's strength to show up strong in your life, you have to be weak. His strength can't show forth if you're strong. So while you're busy trying to be strong, you should just go ahead and be weak and let him be strong. But that's easy to say. It was a simple sentence to get out my mouth, but oh, it's so hard to do. Because we don't like to be weak, and we don't want to be weak in front of other people. But for the cause of Christ, you should be weak. Because when you are weak, he is strong. If you're strong, he can't be strong. He not going to be strong and you be strong. Only one person is strong at the same time. That's him. And it's beneficial for him to be strong because even as you think you're being strong, you're really not. And so you have to be very careful to not take the tests, trials, and tribulations, and to be patient and wait on the Lord. Expect him to move on your behalf in a particular situation. And don't get in a hurry. Bind and tie yourself together with him and let him renew your strength as you're going through these things. And he says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In the Amplified, it says, therefore, I will all the more gladly glory in my weaknesses and infirmities that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yes, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So when you think about those infirmities and weaknesses that you have, not just in your physical body, but also in your emotional being as well, then the things that you're not good at, God is great at. And if he has called you to do a thing, he will enable and empower you to do that thing despite the fact that you're not strong enough to do that thing. It is no coincidence that I can't stand being the center of attention and I have to stand up in front of people every week and preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because I can sit right there or sit back there and have been good for the rest of my ministry life. Didn't have to be in the middle, in the center, but because it's my weakness, then he's strong. And I don't ever have to question. If you hear something that has changed your life in this service, I know it's not me. Because I know my weakness, and I know it's his strength. And so if you leave encouraged or motivated, that's the power of Christ resting on me. So I'm glad I'm an introvert. So that you know when the power of God comes through these words and hits you, it's him. And it ain't me. I'm not taking the credit for that at all. So when you look at the circumstances and the situations in your life and you feel that you are weak, stop hiding those weaknesses. Name them so that Christ can rise up big in you. And look at verse 10. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Not for any sake, but for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Then I am strong. In the Amplified, it says, so for the sake of Christ, I am well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecutions, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. We keep trying to live this life out of our human strength. What was the point of making the spiritual connection if you're not going to use the power that's associated with the spiritual connection? you have the ability to go before the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You just got to do it. You have to stop acting like you can fix everything. When rubber hits the road and scenarios get tough, then you turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, handle this. I'm not capable and I ain't trying. Fix it, Jesus. I ain't getting in the middle of this. It's up to you to fix because I've done what I could do. What was within my thought and my power, and it's not enough. And when you get to the point where you have turned this thing over and flipped it around and tried this and tried that, try Jesus. Try that relationship that you have with Christ and let him take care of what's going on with you. Amen? Amen. Flip over to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. We have to wait on the Lord. We have to bind and tie ourselves together with him. Stop acting like we got it. He got it. Psalm 25, the 25th division of Psalm. And I'm going to read verse 1 and 2, and I want you to read verse 3 with me. Psalm 25, I'm going to read 1 and 2. I want you to read verse 3 with me. Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Begin. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Give God a praise offering for the word. So we got David, who God called from a shepherd to be a king, which wasn't the way it was supposed to go. Samuel came and looked at all the children and rejected every last one and said, bring me that one that's in the field. And so David started this path. Of course, Saul didn't want to give up the power because he had gotten the big head and he wasn't obedient. And so there was a fight and there was a war and David was hiding. And David was fighting for his life. He was winning and he was losing. Ultimately, he got the victory. Then when he got to be king, he messed up a lot. So you're dealing with this David. He says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. The question is, do you trust in God? Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. In the Amplified, it says, unto you, O Lord, I do bring my life. O my God, I trust, lean on, rely on, and am confident in you. Let me not be put to shame or my hope in you be disappointed. Let my enemies triumph over me. And verse 3 in the Amplified says, yes, let none who trust and wait hopefully and look for you be put to shame or be disappointed. If you wait on the Lord, you won't be disappointed. If you wait on the Lord, you won't be disappointed. You won't be ashamed. The only people that are going to be ashamed are those who deal treacherously without cause. That means they're trying to start stuff. If you wait on the Lord, you won't be ashamed. If you wait on the Lord, you won't be disappointed. And look at verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. This is the key. If we wait on the Lord, he renews our strength. But if we ask God to show us his ways, to teach us his paths, to lead us in his truth and teach us, that's the tying and binding together that we're supposed to be doing, then God becomes the God of our salvation, and on you I wait all the day. In the Amplified, it says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and faithfulness, and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you and only and altogether do I wait expectantly all the day long." Because we know that God is showing us his ways and teaching us his path and guiding us and leading us, then we can be patient. Then we can expect and look for with him all the day. We can just wait on God all day. And sometimes we get a little impatient because we think we're idling, and what we should be doing is binding and tying ourselves together. So when you feel impatient in waiting on the Lord, then you need to get into this word a little bit more. You need to remind yourself that it's he who made you and not you yourself. That it's he who knows you. He knows you're down, sitting, and you're uprising. He understands your thoughts afar off. Before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. So he knew this particular circumstance was coming your way that you were going to have to deal with. And so wait on him expectantly and patiently, but while you're waiting, let him teach you. Let him lead you. Let him show you his ways so that you know what to do once the victory comes. The key part is to give him all praise and glory. And that's how you won't be ashamed. That's how you won't be disappointed when you wait on him all the day. Amen? Amen. Flip over to Psalm 37. It's our last scripture for today. Or Psalm 27, my bad. 27. 27, just one page. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 14, although I like to look at this whole psalm. It's a good one to have and read. We're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to read 13 and you read 14 with me. Amen? Amen. Psalm 27, 13. "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Begin. "Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Give God a praise offering for the word. Hallelujah. And so this psalm is an exuberant declaration of faith. That's the subtitle for this particular psalm. And this is David talking again, and he says at the end, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Sometimes we lose heart when we don't believe that God's going to do what he has promised us to do. Not because it's not on the way, but because we run out of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And so we should be transforming ourselves by the renewing of our mind by hearing the word of God. And we just don't do it. But David said, "I would have lost that unless I had believed." If I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And the Amplified, it says, What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? That means that the things that you're waiting on from the Lord aren't going to manifest themselves on the other side when you go to be with the Lord. It's talking about now, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means that some of the things that you're asking God for are going to get paid up before you leave this earth. So if you're losing heart, you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's why he says in verse 14, "Wait on the Lord. Bind and tie yourself together with the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart." If you're binding and tying yourself with the Lord, not only is he renewing your strength, but he's strengthening your heart. And David says, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." In the Amplified, it says, "Wait and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage, and let your heart be stout and enduring." yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. We got to wait on the Lord. We have to bind and tie ourselves together with him. We have to not be discouraged because what we see going on in the earth isn't what is ultimately going to be. We know that ultimately we have the victory. We know that ultimately we win. We know that ultimately we triumph. And so when we see situations where we are not triumphing, it's not our failure. It's not on us anyway. When you really start to look back and you look at the things that you so supposedly have accomplished and you recognize that it was God. If God gave you the ability, then it's him. It wasn't you. Even when we're disobedient, even when we have these thoughts that go away from what God intends for us, God has given us the ability to not always accept what he says. That's a gift from him. He could make us robots that just worship and praise him. But he wants you to get it. So that when you praise him, it comes from a place of sincerity. And so the older I get, and it's not really about age, but the more things I experience, age is really about experience. It's not about getting old. Because I know a lot of people, it's like, oh, to be young. It's not about old and young, but your experiences. Some of y'all lived a hard life and you were really old at 12. I ain't lived no hard life. I wasn't really old at 12. But as I experience more things, have more tests, more trials and temptation, as I begin to see that I ain't all that anyway. And if he didn't make me this way, I wouldn't have been able to make it as far as I thought I was even bringing myself. It's really always been about him. And the more quickly I say that and acknowledge that, the more quickly he can move on my behalf. I can be hard-pressed on every side and still get through. It doesn't have to be easy to be good. It just has to be God to be good. You don't have to take all the difficulty and the challenge. We want it to be without challenge. That's not what makes life rich. It's God that makes your life rich. He adds no sorrow to your richness of life. The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. If you're experiencing a lot of sorrow and toil, that's because you're trying to work out what does for you. And you're not trusting in, leaning on, and relying on, and waiting on God. All you got to do is wait on him. As David says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Until you wait and bind and tie yourself together with him, he's not going to strengthen your heart. Until you wait, he's not going to renew your strength. If you keep feeling burnt out, it's because you're not waiting on the Lord. You can't just say it. You got to do it. That's why God sent me here to give this message to you over these 3 weeks. Because y'all been talking it. Oh, y'all probably could have quoted the scripture from give-go, but you're not living it. What's the point of saying it if you're not going to live it? You got to live this thing out. You got to trust God with the little and the big. Then he becomes your everything. Once he's your everything, then you've binded and tied yourself together with him. And then it's very hard to pluck you out of his hand. And then the devil doesn't have the foothold, and you'll find yourself moving through these tests and trials and temptations a lot faster. People can come and say all kind of crazy stuff to you, and you good. Because you've bound yourself and tied yourself together with him. Binding and tying and waiting on the Lord increases your quality of life. Because you're not worried about doing it on your own. You're letting him do what he needs to do. Amen. Give God a praise offering for the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here,